do our best this morning to try to preach what God laid upon our heart for today.
Amen.
And certainly hope that it will be a help to you as a child of God. My thoughts today are very weak, very feeble, but sometimes we just, the simple things is what helps the most. And I'm a pretty simple fellow anyway, and I want to try to just preach what God's given me for you today, okay? Let's turn our Bible to the book of the Revelation, if you would. Revelation and chapter number 4. Revelation and chapter number 4 in the Word of God this morning. Revelation and chapter number 4, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. John writing here, and he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like unto a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy,
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever,
Amen.
The 24 elders fall down upon before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that word. Let's pray and we'll try to preach this morning. Our Heavenly Father,
yes.
We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege to be back in the house of God today. The songs we've sang and heard, we appreciate them. Thank you for the fellowship with the people of God in a good Sunday school hour. Thank you, Father, for thy word which is before us today. I pray that you'd bless it to our hearts, open our hearts to receive it. Lord, that it may be a blessing and a help and a strength to us in this day that we're living in. I pray you'll encourage every child of God that's here, rebuke every sinner. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to preach the gospel to those that are lost. Comfort, Lord, those that are brokenhearted and grieved today. I pray you'll strengthen the church and bless us now. Bless the preacher with power and unction and grant me the liberty that I need to preach the word of God today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 1 in that chapter, the Bible said, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Come up hither, that trumpet said. Come up hither to the Apostle John. Now, I want to try to take these verses and preach out of them this morning. On the help and the grace of God, on the simple thought, when we all get to heaven.
Amen.
when we all get to heaven. Now, the Bible said there in verse number 1, after this, after what? If you've read the book of the Revelation, you know that chapters 2 and 3 deal with the seven churches that John wrote to in Asia Minor. But they also represent the different times during the grace period or the church period that you and I are living in. And chapter number 3 closes out with that church at Laodicea. The last witness that this world will ever see from the church is the church of Laodicea. And that chapter closes out the church age. And in verse number 1 and 2 here, John is caught up into heaven through a door that he says is set in heaven. And there he sees one sitting upon a throne. And around that throne is a rainbow. And he's like a jasper and a sardine stone and a rainbow round about him like an emerald. The Bible said there's 4 seats around him. And on those seats sat 24 elders. And then there's, of course, the 4 beasts that fly round and round constantly, giving glory unto the Lord, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And John got a look at these things. But you know, the blessing of it is that John here, I think, is somewhat of a type, and I wouldn't say a full type. All types in the Bible will have a flaw in them somewhere. But I would say that John here could possibly be a type of the church that is caught away, or should I say the dead in Christ that are caught away or caught up to be with the Lord. In the rapture, when he, and according to Thessalonians 4, when the Lord descends from heaven and calls us that are alive and those that are dead in the grave to arise and to come up and to be with him there in glory. And you know, there's coming a day that those of us that are saved by the grace of God, that we're all going to get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all get to glory, this world will be left behind, and eternity will be before us. And we'll live in the presence of our Lord for all time and for all eternity. And what a glorious day that is going to be for you and I when we all get to heaven. I trust this morning you're going. I trust you've been to Calvary and been redeemed. I trust you've been up Calvary's hill and repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been birthed into the family of God. That's my earnest desire and prayer to God for you this day. But what about the scriptures here when we all get to heaven? I want to mention 5 things that I see here that I hope will be a blessing to us today. John said, first of all, after this, that is after the church age, after this dispensation that we're living in, the rapture takes place. After this, he said, behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, you and I both know that the Bible said, or Jesus said in John 10:9, he said, "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And as he mentioned that door, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." That is that door that Jesus spoke about was the only way to get to God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so entering in through that door was the only way that a man was going to get to God. And what a marvelous thing here it is. John said that he saw that door, a door was open. That tells me that door has not always been open. That door up to this point is a closed door. But John said he saw that door open. And just like that Jesus being the door here upon this earth that led to God, in like manner, this door that is set in heaven and opened in heaven is our way of getting to God also. He is the door, and we must go through Him. It's somewhat like the veil of the temple. You know, when the Lord died on Calvary, The Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Up until that time, only the high priest was allowed behind that veil. But once that veil was rent in twain, Jesus paved the way for every old sinner like you and I to be saved and to make our way to God. Well, I'm glad that here in our text today, that Jesus, which is that door, also opens up the door that lets you and I that are saved make our way to God. He first was a door that let the lost make their way to God, and now He opens a door in heaven that will also grant you and I our way into the presence of Almighty God. Now, I'm telling you what a day of rejoicing that's going to be, folks, when you and I all get to heaven. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to listen carefully. That word door means to lead the way. To lead the way. And boy, I'm telling you, when I read that, I just about had myself a spell. Jesus is our forerunner. He has already entered in behind the veil. He is the way. And when that door opens, what the Bible is telling us, Jesus is saying, I'm already here. I'm opening the door. I am the way. Now get a hold of this. He said, I am the way, all of the way. Oh, I want to run that by you again. I am the way, all of the way. Oh, I've had people to tell me, well, you can lose it. Well, not according to that, you can't lose it. He was a door on this earth that provided salvation. He'll be the door in heaven that provides the same, the way into God. He is the way, and He'll be the way all the way. You better believe that's right. He'll be the way all the way. Amen. We're not going to get there on works of righteousness. We're going to get there on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm glad, thank God, that that way is a blood-stained way. He entered in by the sprinkling of the blood, which is a new and a better way. My friend, that's the same way you and I'll go. You don't have to agree with me on this, but I believe there's a blood-sprinkled way all the way from earth to glory that will protect and preserve you and I as we leave this world to meet Jesus in the air. I believe there's a blood-sprinkled way that leads all the way to that door that is set in heaven. Somebody say amen. I believe that's an absolute fact. And so I see here that door, as it's open, is the way to God. Then I see also, stay right with me, as that door is opened, that tells me that the wait is over. Amen. Somebody said, what do you mean the wait is over, Brother Hall? Well, you know, we can think of you and I, amen, as we wait on the Lord. And our wait, when that door opens, is going to be over. But you know, my mind, as I wrote that down, went way back. And I thought about all those that have died in Christ before you and I. Amen. And I know they're, according to the Bible, I believe their souls are under the altar. But their bodies are still in the ground. Amen. And all those bodies, some of them have laid in the ground for years and years and years. Can you get a hold of this? And they've laid there, and that body very patiently, waiting, like amen, Job said, till their chains come. Yes. And when that door opens in heaven, their change is going to come. Amen. And all those that have died in Christ, their wait is going to be over. And those old bodies that have laid in the ground all of those years are going to get up out of the grave. Amen. That mortal is going to put on immortality, and that corruption is going to put on incorruption, and death is going to be swallowed up in victory, ladies and gentlemen, and their wait is going to be over. Hallelujah to God. Every one of us in here probably have loved ones that have died in Christ. One day we went down to a cemetery and let their bodies down into a little grave, and left that grave and walked back to our automobiles and drove off. And left them laying there all alone. Well, it reminds me of that song we used to play of old Dr. John R. Rice. Talked about when his mother died. And said they laid her up on that little old mountainside and put her down in that grave and covered her up with dirt. He said, when everybody got ready to leave, he said, I knelt down beside the grave. And here's what he said. He said, I'll see you again, Mama. I'll see you again someday. I don't know when Ray Hart sang that song, by the way. He said, I'll see you again someday. I'll see you again someday. How many of us have walked down a little pathway in a cemetery and laid a loved one down, laid their body in that grave, knowing that they're saved by the grace of God? Now I'm telling you, they've laid there all those years, but oh, when that door that is in heaven opens up, ladies and gentlemen, their wait is over, and we're all going home, and what a day that's going to be when we all get to heaven. Say amen right there. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Their wait is going to be over. Their wait is going to be over. May I say, thirdly, that the war is going to be ended. The war is over, friend. I don't know. That's right. When that door opened, our war is ended. I don't know about you, but I'm still fighting that war. I've got to fight it every day. I've got to fight sin every day of my life. I'm telling you, sin is a creepy, crawling egg sucker that will not leave you and I alone. It tries to come in on us from every angle. Now somebody's going to get offended at this, but it's like that little black girl talks about saving that money in that little old jar. You see, sometimes when you look at the news and they're online in their own station, she says, talks about a little sister, said she's sneaky. Sneaky like a snake. That's what sin is. It's sneaky. And it's sneaky like a snake. In fact, it was that stinking reptile in the garden that crept up on Eve and deceived Eve into eating that apple. Amen. And plunging the human race, her and Adam, into depravity. Now I'm telling you, we got to fight sin every day of our life, ladies and gentlemen. It's all around us. We live in a world of sin. But oh, when that door opens, thank God, that war that we've been waging against sin all of these years is going to be finally over. Hallelujah. I won't say that war against Satan's going to be over. He is also a sorry egg sucker. Amen. He's worse than the devil. That's right. God help us. Oh, Slewfoot, always sticking his nose in where it don't belong. Amen. Trying to dig a pit for us to fall in. Set a snare to trip us up in. Cast a net to catch us in. He's a devil, all right, and he is our adversary. Amen. But he is also like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's plenty out there for him to devour, ladies and gentlemen. And he, like sin, is as deceptive as deception can possibly be. Oh, and he is sneaky like a devil. You better believe it. But when that door opens in heaven, we all get to heaven. It's goodbye, sin. Goodbye, Satan. So long, hallelujah. We're going to heaven and leave sin and Satan behind. Amen. Now I want to say thirdly, that when that door opens and that war has ended, sin is conquered. Satan is defeated. But I'm going to tell you what, the war is going to be over with self. I don't know about you, but I've got to fight myself every day. This old flesh wars against me every day. Oh, Stephen and I said something the other day. I said something about dying. And he said, one of us said, the other one said, well, how many times can you die? And I said, well, one of us said, well, we're going to die when we get old, that's for sure. But he said, you know, we got to die to self also. Amen. Then Brother Steve spoke up and said, oh, no, Brother Paul said, behold, I die daily. Amen. Oh, and I'm going to tell you that's our problem today, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know yet how to die every day to self and live for God. Rather than live for God, we want to live for ourselves. And we've got to fight against self, fight against our flesh. But oh, he's coming today. Thank God when that door in heaven is open and we go through that door, glory to God, that self will be left behind. You know why? Because flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. This old nasty flesh ain't a going in. Sin ain't a going in. Satan ain't a going in. That's right. Well, I see that door. Then I won't say secondly, very quickly. Very quickly. I also see a declaration. He said he heard a voice that said, come up hither. You get a hold of that. That door is open. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. But I believe when that door is open. I believe John saw it. When that door opened, I believe Jesus stepped out of that door. And said, come up hither. And I got to thinking, what a welcome that's going to be. When the Christ that loved us and died on Calvary for us welcomes us home to glory. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day that's going to be for you and I. What a welcome party we're going to be awaiting on us when we get there. Hallelujah to God. I'll never forget the evening that I, late afternoon, really early evening, I made my way into that little old supermarket parking lot in Underwood, Indiana. That taxi cab driver from Louisville said, so we here. Said, I give him that $20 bill and rolled out of that taxi. First thing I saw my brother, his wife. I hollered at him. They didn't even know I was coming home. Oh, and I'll never forget when I got home, that door opened. There was that little old gray-headed mama. Woo! That little old humpback daddy standing there in the doorway. Now I'm telling you, with the arms outstretched, I thought, Lord, what a welcome to be home. What a welcoming committee this is. And all the whole countryside that night come in just to see the soldier boy that made his way home. May I say to you that Jesus is going to step through that door and be the first one to welcome us when we get to glory. Oh, but yeah, hear what I'm getting ready to say. I believe close behind Jesus will be the children of God, our loved ones. Our loved ones will be there to welcome us also. And then all the angelic host will welcome you and I through that door and into the portals of glory. And what a day that's going to be when we all get to heaven. Amen. Wonderful day. What a welcome. And then I see not only that declaration as a welcome, but I see it as a wonder. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean a wonder? Well, there's a song that says the wonder of wonders. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to see a wonder that day. And it's going to be, he's going to be a wonder of wonders. He that was and is and always shall be. He that descended to earth and put on a robe of flesh, and how he did it is beyond my comprehending. But I'm talking about the very God that the Bible said here in the last verse of this, that created all things and for thy pleasure and are and they were created for God's pleasure. And a wonder of wonders that the great Creator, he that created the very womb that Jesus came through, hallelujah, is going to be there to welcome you and I home. It's not only going to be a welcome, but there's going to be a wonder of wonders when we sit there. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to see him as a little baby in a manger. And we're not going to see him, ladies and gentlemen, as a dying on the cross. And I'm going to tell you where we're going to see him. We're going to see him sitting on that throne in all of his grace and all of his glory. All of his majestic beauty and power. We'll see him sitting there. Amen. On that throne. Well, that declaration is made come up hither. It's a welcome and it's also a wonder. And then I believe that it means that our work has finally ended. We can honestly say I've finished my course.
Yeah.
I've kept the faith. I might say a little something about that work in tonight's message that I preach. But I'm here to tell you, hey, our journey's not ended yet, folks. We're not ready to lay our burdens down by the riverside just quite yet. Oh, no, it's not over. We used to sing that old song, "We'll work till Jesus comes." How true that is. And we ought to be working till Jesus comes. Our day of rest has not yet come. And by the way, there he is. Come on in the house. There is a seventh day of rest that had not come yet.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. There's coming a seventh day of rest.
Amen.
You better believe there is, friend.
Amen.
When 6,000 years of this world has ended and we enter into that 7,000th year, I'm talking about a 7,000 years of rest upon this earth.
Amen.
And that eighth, the new beginning, hallelujah.
Amen.
When that new Jerusalem shall come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband and will set on 12 foundations on this earth, hallelujah.
Amen.
It'll be a day of new beginnings. But that seventh day of rest is going to be wonderful. I read the other day, said the cow and the lion will eat straw together.
Amen.
Now, I thought, won't that be something seeing a lion and a cow standing there eating straw? The lamb and the lion laying down together. The child can put its hand on a cockatrice den and it not bothered. What a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. I got to move on. I get all beside myself here. If I don't move on, I will definitely get all beside myself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want to say this too. That welcome home. When he said, come up hither. When he said, come up hither to John. And he said, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. When John goes on addressing the verses that follow that. When he said, I saw one that sat on the throne. Immediately I was in the spirit and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one that sat on the throne. It goes on to describe him that sat on the throne. May I say to you that John was already through the door.
Amen.
John already made it through the door.
Amen.
Oh, yes, they's coming. Hey, and if John made it, pray tell me why you and I that have made the same march to Calvary that John made, why won't we make it? I'm going to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, as that door opened for John and John went through it and saw, so will you and I go through that door and behold things that mortal man has never seen. And we'll hear things that mortal ears have never heard. And we'll behold things that mortal man has never beheld. And we'll be able to touch things that these hands have never touched.
Amen.
I walked in down at the VA the other day. Brother Doug was with me. Walked into ROI, which is a release of information. And I sat down and I discerned right quickly that there was a little, I'll say a discussion. I'll say it was more of a little argument, but it was, I'll say a discussion. They're discussing religious things. This one fellow spoke up. He was sitting right beside of me. And he said, looked at these other people he's talking to, and he said, I'll bet y'all can't tell me what the only things that are in heaven that are man-made. I said, the hand, nail prints and Jesus' hands and feet. He said, why do you say that for? How do you know that? I said, because I've read my Bible.
Amen.
That's the only man-made thing up there.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, those nail prints will be just as fresh when we get there as they were the day they nailed him to Calvary.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, just like Doubting Thomas, we'll be able to behold those prints in his hands and his feet.
Amen.
We'll be able to touch those hands and his feet. Wow, when I think about it. Bound at the feet of the Lord Jesus and gazing upon those blessed feet that walked the shores of Galilee and carried a cross all the way up Calvary's hill and laid down on that cross and let him drive those nails through his hands and feet just for you and I.
Amen.
Someday he's going to open that door in heaven and say, come up hither. And we're all going to heaven, friend. What a day of rejoicing.
Amen.
That's going to be. Then I want to say thirdly, I also not only see a door that was opened and a declaration that was made, but I see a divine one sitting on a throne. John said immediately in verse 2, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in the sight like unto an emerald. I don't want any of you to pass out. But they wasn't but one on the throne.
Amen.
They wasn't a half a dozen. They wasn't three. There's one on the throne. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm going in the direction of some other thing. I'm not going in. One was there. He's God. And beside Him there is none else. And His seat on that throne tells me that He is a sovereign God that has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. Woo! Hallelujah to God. He will not share His glory with another, and He will not share that throne with another. He is a sovereign, holy, righteous God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's seated on that throne.
Amen.
He said, I saw one on that throne. That's right. There are a lot of gods in this world today. Man-made gods, but they're not going to be there. John didn't say, I seen a bundle of money on the throne. He didn't say, I saw a new Corvette sitting there. Or a new Camaro. He didn't say, I saw a bass boat. Or a hunting rifle. Or a case full of guns or pocket knives. He said, I saw one sitting on the throne. Amen. The Bible goes on to say that He was like a jasper and a sardine stone. Now, I don't know all there is to know about that, but I know that that word jasper means polished.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. That means it's perfect in His glory, sitting on a throne. He that knew no sin, that was made to be sin, and yet sin could not hold Him. Praise God. He took our sin, went to a borrowed tomb, and shed our sin there forever in eternity. Bless His wonderful name. He is the polished one. There is no blemish in Him. He is the only. Yes, He is the only perfect one I know. You may know somebody's perfect, but I don't. I'm talking about sinlessly perfect.
Amen.
You know one? Show him to me. I bet you I can make him. Bet you I can make him sin in 2 minutes. That's right. Hallelujah. All these fellows that's so perfect. It hadn't sinned in months and weeks and months and all this and all that. I wouldn't believe that for a minute, buddy. But when John said, I saw one sitting there, he's the polished one. And by the way, I don't understand this, but that word sardine means a stone of stumbling. He's not only the polished one, but I'm going to tell you what it tells me, that there's a whole lot of people in the world that have stumbled at the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he's telling John. They stumbled at my words, the perfect one who had the truth, and they knew not the truth, but stumbled at the very Word of God.
Amen.
It's sad to say they died and went to hell. That's what he's telling us. And then there's a rainbow round about that throne. Now get this. That rainbows we see today, we see the beginning of them and we see the end of them. But this rainbow, the Bible said, was round about it. It was a perfect circle.
Amen.
It had no beginning and it had no end.
Amen.
Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that not only the sovereignty of God, but the eternality of God.
Amen.
Amen. He always was and always shall be. He had no beginning and it had no end, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I said, where did God come from? It didn't come from nowhere. There wasn't nowhere for him to come from. He always has been. Our little minds, we say, oh, I believe that. But I'm going to tell you what. Fully get a hold of it. You know what? We're so temporal that it's hard to get a hold of the eternal. And I'm not talking about everlasting. I'm not talking about having a beginning, but no end. I'm talking about never having a beginning or never having an end.
Amen.
That's God. He's the only one I know that way.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. And don't ask me, I can't explain this. But he said, he that believeth on me, he said, shall have eternal life. Ooh, eternal life. I don't understand. Oh, you come on and explain that to me if you know how to explain it. I don't know how. But in the same chapter of John 3, he says everlasting life and eternal life. No, I don't understand all that. But I know this much about it. In the mind of God, we've got, in the mind of man, we've got everlasting life. There was a day we got saved when we was lost and got saved, but we'll never die. But in the mind of God, well, I've lost you. I've done lost you. Well, my goodness. Jennifer, Rickard, can you angels believe she actually got saved today? This is God talking. That just shocks the boots off of me. God has never been shocked. Nothing's ever occurred to God. God knew the end from the very beginning. That's why He could tell John to write these things down in Revelation and bring them to pass. He's eternal, omnipotent, omnipresent, Almighty God, ladies and gentlemen. It had no beginning and had no end. Somebody say amen right there. Then I see too, now get this. That rainbow in the book of Genesis, when the flood came, he said, I'll put a bow in the sky that the world shall never be destroyed ever again by water. He judged this world and destroyed it by water.
Amen.
But that rainbow, likewise, had a beginning and it had an end. I can about run my head through a wall on this. When John said he saw that rainbow round about the throne, it was a complete rainbow. No more judgment at all.
Amen.
Judgment is gone, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
Woo! Bless His wonderful name this morning.
Amen.
Thank God there's coming a time when judgment will be over.
Amen.
For the children of God, there'll be no more. Our sin has been judged, found guilty, Christ crucified, born on the cross, rose again without it, and we shall be judged no more.
Amen.
That's eternal. Now I want you to listen very carefully. I not only see a door that's open, I not only see a declaration that was made, and I only see a divine one, but I also see our dwelling place. He said, round about the throne were 24 seats. If on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Somebody asked me some time ago, said, who are those 24 elders? Well, 12 for one of the number, 12 for one time, it represents the number of government. And I believe those 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel out of the Old Testament, 12 apostles of the New Testament.
Amen.
Two perfect governments. And I believe in together they both represent all the redeemed of the Lord.
Right.
So we're all going to be seated there. That's what he's saying. That's all the saints of God. Hey, and the Bible said upon their head were crowns.
Amen.
But hey, we're going to dwell there.
Oh,
when we all get to heaven. Son, what a day that's going to be. What a day of rejoicing. Now you hear me and hear me well. I want you to read this, where I got this message from. I want you to look in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 32. I'll be done in just a minute now. Isaiah 32. Verse number 16. Isaiah said, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. Judgment in the wilderness.
Amen.
And righteousness remain in the fruitful land. Now listen carefully. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, assurance forever. And assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a... I'm talking about our dwelling place. Shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Now I know this is talking about the millennium. So don't come and correct me on that. And in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. What a wonderful time that's going to be. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. I've never seen this before in my life. This is Hall's. I didn't get this out of a book. But Isaiah said there in verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace.
Amen.
May I say to you that it's not by our works of righteousness. Sunday didn't say, by our works of righteousness, there is no peace.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. John the Baptist, Jesus said to John the Baptist, all righteousness must be fulfilled. Now I'm going to tell you whose work of righteousness that is. That's talking about the work that Christ done.
Amen.
That work of righteousness that Christ done for you and I. And guess what it does? The Bible said, and it's a work of righteousness shall be peace. Hallelujah. Oh, now hey, get a hold of this. I believe he's talking about that inward peace that we have. But in that next verse, he said, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. That's talking about our houses. Can I just step down? I know it's not good for me. I'm going to step down there just for a minute. That work of righteousness gives us peace within. But those peaceable habitations is referring to peace without. So boy, I'm telling you, they's coming today when we get to heaven. They not. Hey, you might as well say amen. You know your heart's not always at peace. There's always a little trouble stirring around in there somewhere. And our household is not always full of peace. Can't pay the bills half the time, griping, grumbling. You know there's not always peace. But oh! And then, hey, all around us, that's all you hear of anymore. They got a new Palestinian army now. They're building miniature submarines now. I mean, they're doing this. Israel's talking about 200 and some nations, or 183 nations being against them now. Oh, it's coming that time. It's just about here. It's just about going home time. Hallelujah to God. It's just about going home time. You know, yes, we're getting ready. We're getting ready to get out of this world, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to a place where there will not only be peace on the inside, praise God, there will be peace on the outside as well. That work of righteousness Christ does will give peace here. And that dwelling place that we live in will be a peaceable habitation. And notice what else it gives. It not only gives peace, but it gives quietness. Isn't that something? People today, they want the honky-tonks and the loud music. We can sit in that office and sometimes they go by, boom, boom, boom. Boom. I'm glad when this goes, we're having an earthquake or what? Boom. I bet we had a Richter scale in there some days that'd measure at least a 5.
Amen.
Quietness. Seems like people today can't live quietly.
Amen.
But John said, that Paul said rather in the book of Timothy, that we are to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all
Amen.
Honesty before God. Quiet and peaceable. One day we're going to. When we get to heaven, we're going to. Amen. And then he says, quietness. He said, the effect. Now, the work of righteousness is peace. But the effect of righteousness, how it affects you and I, is not only peace, but it's quietness and assurance for how long? 2 or 3 days, Brother Hall? Forever.
Amen.
Assurance forever. Oh, God, help us. There's so many folks today that stand in doubt whether they're going or not. They're not sure that they've been born again and they're dead. They're worried and they're dead. But thank God there's coming a day when there'll be quietness and assurance in our dwelling places. And the Bible said it will be forever. Amen. Last time I looked up that word forever, it meant forever.
Amen.
That's right. And there will be safety. He said in sure dwellings. There's going to be safety there. I go to bed at night, you can ask Miss Hall. I've got a little touch of shell shockness, whatever you want to call it. The Army calls it PTSD. Combat PTSD. They want to put that on our license tag plates now so the police, when they stop us, will know that we might be subject to go off any minute. That's right. I'm not joking. They're doing it in Georgia. They want to put it on. So it said it'd be like bad eyesight that they'd know you had a problem. They're putting it on so they know that they've got hold of a man or a woman that just may go off any minute. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about sure dwelling places. Don't have to worry no more. Every night I go to my house, I lock every door, check every window, lock every window. I wouldn't go to bed. I wouldn't go in my bed with one of the downstairs windows open if you give me $1 million. Somebody said, why? I couldn't handle it. I can still see them boys climbing up that hillside. I can still see them easing across that little creek and river bed. I can still see them poking their nose and their bayonets through that jungle. You think I'm going to bed with that thought in my mind? Especially with all the break-ins they've got these days? I heard about a break-in up in, was it Chicago, Minnesota, somewhere? Huh? Chicago, that little girl? 12 or 13-year-old girl. Her daddy she had been shooting skeets all of her life. And her daddy left the house with two thugs, illegal aliens. Thought there was nobody at home but her and they'd have an easy prey. They broke through her door. She quickly ran to the bedroom, got her daddy's shotgun, got in a kneeling position on the floor. And when the first one came up the stairs to where she was at, the news article said she blowed his stomach and his groin completely out. And said the next one started up the steps and she shot him in the shoulder and he blundered out in the yard and bled to death. Somebody said, well, what do you say about that, Brother Hall? I say, give her a hero badge.
Amen!
Got a right to defend ourselves. Better believe we have. Hallelujah to God. We don't have to worry about that in heaven. There'll be no thugs like that in glory. Amen. There'll be sure dwellings that we'll live in. I'll tell you, we'll have someone as a sentinel on the outside that will not let anyone or anything on the inside to molest you and I. His name's Jesus. He'll be there. And I want to say finally in closing, I not only see a door that's opened and a declaration made in a divine one, a dwelling place, but I see the day of coronation. The day of coronation. The Bible says in verse 4, talking about them 24 elders, that they had on their heads crowns of gold. That's us. God has crowned us with crowns of gold. Whoa, what a day that's going to be.
Yes, sir.
What a coronation day. That is going to be when God sets them crowns on our head. Amen. And I believe there's 5 crowns that a man can win.
Amen.
You can read about them in the book. Don't take time to go over them. But I believe this is going to be the crown of salvation that He sets on our head. But the Bible also says there in verse number 10, The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God is going to crown us. But there's a greater coronation day coming than that. When we cast our crowns at the very feet of the Lord Jesus, and God declares Him to be King of all. Crown Him Lord of all. Amen. And He will be on that day. Crown Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. Because He is worthy. Hallelujah to God. For as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, He was and was not and yet He is. He was alive and was dead, and behold, He's alive forevermore.
Amen.
And has the keys death, to hell and death about His girdle. That's right, buddy. One of these days, God's going to slip that crown on His head, and we're going to throw our crowns at His feet and say, You're worthy!
Amen.
You may not do it now, but the Bible said they're all going to fall down.
That's right.
I didn't write that. God did. God said, we're all, A-L-L, all.
Amen.
We'll fall down and take their own crowns and say, You're worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm unworthy as I can be, but You're worthy.
Amen.
Not only take Your crown, but take mine too.
Because
You're deserving of it. Somebody said, well, you didn't preach on much sin today. Well, God didn't tell me to. You come back another time. I'm going to tell you, people need to know what Christ has done for them.
Amen.
Now, I'm satisfied. I'm going to spend the rest of my ministry doing the best I know how to tell you and anybody else that will listen. Not only what Christ has done, but what He's doing right now.
Amen.
That dwelling place, and I even forgot about this. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For in My Father's house are many mansions. That NIV says, in My Father's house are many rooms. You can have a room if you want. I'd rather have a mansion. He might give me something about the room about the size of that half bath over the house. That wouldn't be much. I'm looking for a mansion, friend. And He said, and if I go away, I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, what? There you may be also.
Amen.
When we all get to heaven.
Amen.
What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. That same door that we went through to get saved is going to be the same door that we go through to get into the Father's presence in heaven.
Amen.
Let's all stand together, please.